Scott Laughlin and Kevin Bessler, and joined in the studio now by Bloomington City Manager David Hales. Good morning, David Hales.
Good morning to both of you.
And I should congratulate you. What the hell's wrong with Bloomington that you want to get out? You've been applying for jobs all over the place. Congratulations on the gig there in Joliet. Have you been to Joliet?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Yeah, driven through and, you know, certainly had some interviews. And like any community, they have some awesome areas, some very beautiful areas, but they also have some areas they're trying to redevelop downtown and elsewhere, but it's very spread out east to west.
Isn't that where Capone hung out?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his hangouts. All right. Let's talk about the big story that broke yesterday. You had 5 former Coliseum staff members indicted, facing 111 different charges in this alleged, and we'll stress the word alleged, alleged scheme. If all is true, and what we're gathering here, we're talking over $1 million in theft, basically, in many different ways, fraud, money laundering, stolen concession fees, overbilling and double billing. How can something like that go on for years and not be detected by the city who hired them to run the arena?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. However, you know, my first comment is we have been asked by the Illinois State Police and the state's attorney's office to not comment on the current charges or the because it is still an ongoing
investigation. Well, that's okay. I'm not asking about the charges, though.
So I've got to be careful. As you might have read in the paper, some of the prior comments we made, though, and I think this is the important point, is the city was the one that identified and covered concerns as we were going through this transition from the SIAM management to VenueWorks based on some in-depth, kind of deep dive investigation into the financial affairs and closing out SIAM. It was at that point in time that concerns were identified, and the city approached the Illinois State Police asking for their help
After 10 years. SIAM had been there 10 years, and VenueWorks, correct me if I'm wrong, VenueWorks was the one that said, "Oop, we've got some odd numbers here," and alerted the city to that, right?
Well, it was the city especially was doing a lot of this investigation before VenueWorks even came on board. But I think your question also gets into the overall topic of fraud. How do you determine fraud? You know, and when you have a very complex ongoing thorough attempt to try to commit fraud, it's not easy. One of the things the city did to help ensure going forward, we are staying on top and looking at areas of concern, is to institute an internal audit program. And this was done at about that same time. And with the internal audit individual that we hired, Bronner Group out of Chicago, they assisted us in doing some deeper dive analysis, and they were a critical partner in helping us to identify these concerns that we brought to the attention of the Illinois State Police.
The auditor from Chicago, they came in when? After SIAM had their contract had expired?
Before.
Before.
As we were beginning the transition, we knew that, and as we were in the midst of negotiating a possible successor agreement and how we could improve upon it, they came in to advise us on what could be done to improve the management agreement. You might want to keep in mind we did reach out to several new management firms, and they assisted us in looking at what was the weak areas of the current agreement that had gone back to, 2006, how we can improve upon it, and how we could even improve upon the oversight and the financial accountability. So they provide a great deal of additional investigation and insight that was very critical to approaching Illinois State Police.
But 111 counts of theft and fraud, over $1 million over this time span of about 10 years, alleged, and no red flares went up with the city? I mean, when you get a report back from Central Illinois Arena Management and you see the numbers, there's no, huh? that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. You know, and as you look at history, it's like Bernie Madoff. You know, when you look at some of the white-collar crime that has been endemic, you know, both in the private sector and, unfortunately, sometimes in the public sector, you know, you do raise those questions. How is it that people who are going to commit fraud, how do they come up with a process to evade detection? We even had outside independent financial audits of the Coliseum as an additional measure, which we didn't have to do, but it was something that we were doing to have outside auditors review this. And they didn't even identify or that there was, you know, anything amiss.
What kind of contract did you have with these guys? Why couldn't they just, you could say, all right, quarterly or semi-annually, you're going to lay it all out in front of us. We want to see the numbers. Because what we'd heard time and time again was that they can keep their books private because they were a private entity. Isn't that what they were telling you all the time?
Yeah, and again, you've got to keep in mind, that's how it was set up, you know, back even before my time and many of the people that are here.
So right there should have been a red flag.
You know, in the very beginning, it was not a good agreement. But once again, you got to keep in mind that, you know, this is a – even these auditors who spent weeks, if not a month, each year going over, doing random testing, things of that nature – didn't identify these problems. So, you know, it also kind of goes to show that you can even have auditors, as we found time and time again, do some deep dive analysis, and sometimes they don't even detect. So how does the city, with a $210 million budget and so many areas of to kind of watch and concern and with limited staff, so if our outside independent auditors can identify that, you know, and doesn't raise any concern, it's very unfortunate. But once again, we've identified that with the help of Bronner, who really came in and at, you know, additional expense, really dug deeper as we identified areas of concern.
So now you have a new group operating.
The Venue Works.
Venue Works. How do you prevent this from happening again?
Yeah. You know, and again, with an internal audit program, which we've started, this is one way that we will do that because we won't just always rely on the reports that they give us. And we get monthly, monthly financial statements, quarterly and annual. Yes, Venue Works does have some in-depth auditing that goes on at the corporate headquarters. We are now party to much of the depository checking accounts that are held by Venue Works in the building so that we can watch any and all transactions going into the bank, which we didn't before. So we have instituted these types of new programs to help watch even more closely. It will take additional staff time, however, to do that. And then with an internal audit program, we can periodically, you know, every year, every 2 or 3 years, even do some deeper dives to even spend much more time determine is everything legitimate, you know, and are they fully upfront and truthful in all the financial transactions.
So let me get this straight. I don't think you were here. I don't think Mayor Renner was here. Well, no, Mayor Renner wasn't here when we you started the contract with SIAM.
No, that was before my time.
12 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you came in, did you have questions about the contract and how they were operating things? And was it your job or whose job was it to monitor what was going on at U.S. Cellular Coliseum with the money?
Well, you know, once again, they had to submit financial information. We also would have that financial information reviewed, not only by the finance department, but also we had outside independent auditors who would review the annual financial information. So that was the most significant expense each year we would go to help ensure that the financial information they provided to the city were reliable. And that's something we did each year. And that was usually at a cost of $30,000 to $40,000 to pay that outside independent auditor to review their financial information.
So they give you the financial information, and this is what we always got in the newsroom. The bottom line would be reported, but we could never get information on how they got to the bottom line, their bottom line.
And again, that's what the auditors do each year. They test that information. They go to the source
documents. So somebody's getting those numbers.
Yes, yes. The outside auditors who would go into the arena, look at their original information, and they test it by doing random checks. They would go and say, okay, this is the number you're giving us. How did you arrive at it? Show us your work papers. Show us the source documents you would have. And they do that with the city. When the auditors come in to verify the accuracy of the city financial statements, they do the same thing. They look at purchase orders. They look at invoices, things of that nature. And that's what we were relying on.
And they didn't catch it either. So are these people that were auditing, are they still in the city employ?
Pardon?
Are they still employed by the city, the auditors?
Well, we have a new auditor firm, but
if they can't catch it, what good are they?
Well, I think you got to keep in mind. Oftentimes, you might even recall a few years ago we had a finance employee who was stealing money from the city. That was never caught by the auditors. But I think one of the things that is helpful to know, you know, people often use the term forensic accounting or a forensic audit.
Right.
That's where you look at every single piece of paper, every single receipt, every single invoice. Just think of the time and effort.
But those could be doctored too, couldn't they? I mean,
yes,
you could doctor an invoice.
Yes. Fraud can, yeah, exactly. And so how do you know if someone has kind of doctored or changed, falsified a record? So it's not as easy as I think people think or realize to detect fraud, but to be more aggressive, that's where a good internal audit program can help minimize the risk. You can never, I believe, achieve a 100% guarantee that it's never going to happen, but you've got to have and do more in trying to make people aware that we're going to look, we're going to do compliance audits, we're going to look into all transactions. And that's unfortunately the current state of affairs in both private and public sector, that we've just got to do more
in
the area of auditing.
Five facing charges. Any more indictments coming down that you know of? Because over the 10 years, a lot of people came in and out of that, their employ.
Yes, they did have some turnover, but, you know, the main management, was the same there for all that time, with one exception.
All right, we're talking over $1 million. What chances are the city's going to get their money back? Or, I'm sorry, what chances are we're going to get our money back?
You know, you'd have to ask the Illinois State Police. Now, certainly as things continue on, and the city's always been very aggressive asking for restitution, we also carry insurance to help protect the city. So in the case of, say, employee fraud, we have insurance to also as a stop gap measure to help cover potential laws or loss from employee theft. So those are some two ways that we could get reimbursement.
All right. Is there any chance of this going on at the other entity we have for entertainment, the BCPA?
Well, you know, it could even be going on at WJBC.
Oh, well, there's no money left.
You know, and I think that's the
we're
thing that we always,
I don't know if you've heard.
You know, it happens a lot in the even the private sector. What we found is over my career is a lot of times private companies don't want the public exposure, so they'll hide it. You know, you look at, I know it's like you look at State Farm. They have a huge, huge internal auditing division. And they have a lot of people that do nothing more that are constantly reviewing transactions within the corporation. You never hear much about that, but that's the same with a lot of other private companies. So it happens, and unless you devote in some case, significant resources, but once again, you know, that is still no guarantee, but when people know you're looking, that's a great deterrent.
So you believe the city did everything they could to avoid this from happening, and with all that, it still happened. You did everything you could.
Well, we can always do more. You know, it's just like 9 years ago, as we were looking at how we can even strengthen our financial oversight duties, we began talking about the internal audit function, but it took years for us to dig out of our financial difficulties to be able to fund that particular program. So, you know, you can always do more, but again, fraud is going to happen. There is no 100% guarantee. You can always prevent it, and just look at what's happening, you know, around the nation. But I think we've got a very strong program now, and we've got some key individuals in place, new finance director who joined us 3-4 years ago, and others. So I think we've made great strides in helping to minimize the risk of fraud and theft, you know, in all areas of the city. But we can always do more and continue to look for ways. In fact, even at the IML, you know, they had several sessions on some of the new techniques and some of the new ways fraud and theft is being perpetrated. And look at cybersecurity. You know, how much should be invested to help keep thieves from stealing by the use of the internet? Yeah. And even some of the biggest companies in the world, you know, haven't been able to prevent that.
All right. You knew these five people. I mean, you worked with them probably very regularly. Your thoughts on that? Were you shocked by what the state police discovered? And I imagine disappointed?
Well, again, I won't get into that per se. And keep in mind, I'm not privy to all the research. This was an 18-month investigation. So they went through a lot of information, and more of that will come out, you know, in the months or years ahead. It could be a long process. So I'm still not even privy to all of their findings. You know, I've seen kind of the indictment like you have, but we'll let justice prevail and see what the ultimate outcome will be.
All right. And we got word last night, mayor's coming back. He'll be back, Sunday?
First part of, October. I think October 1st.
All right. Diane Howman will be sitting in for him on Wednesday. We'll talk to her then. Good talking to you, David Hales. Thanks for being here.
Okay.
And we'll do it in a couple of weeks.
What about that sanitary sewer and stormwater
fee
increase?
We'll talk with Diane Howman about that. She's the one. Did she vote for? Was she a yay vote on that one? Yeah. We'll talk about that with her tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Good seeing you.